Well, good morning, everyone. I'm very glad that Tom in his prayer remembered the Rose family, and some of you, most of you hopefully, received our email about praying for Tina's daughter, and unfortunately she passed on. And we want to make sure that as a church body that we are there for Tina and Billy Rose, as well as Brenda, Billy's sister. And they're here with us today, and I'm grateful for that. They're able to be here. They want to be with this body, and that's a testament, I believe, to who we are as the Zora Baptist Church body. I'd like to ask anyone who's willing if they took my challenge from last week. I warned you last week that I'd ask if anyone did take the challenge, if they'd be willing to share about that, what occurred. Now, the challenge was, and reminder, was to actually attempt or hopefully be able to share the gospel of Jesus with others or somebody, or a specific person, at least one time this past week. And I'm just wondering if anybody took that challenge, if anybody had that opportunity to do so. And I'd like to share about it. Anyone? Yes, sir.
I had a heartbreaking experience this week. I sold my little 65 VW. The fellow came in and bought it. I asked him about his religious life. He said his wife was 7 days finished, but he did not go to church. So I got turned around and did what I didn't mention to him about religion.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Anyone else?
Just me? Just in general, there's not too many people coming to my office at the bank that doesn't know that I'm a Christian. One of Tommy's little Jesus signs is right behind my back. Jesus has always got my back, is what I tell them. I don't refer to that when they come into my office because they're hurting. And bankers are like bartenders. Everyone comes in and they pour their souls upon you. Some is true, some is not true, and you have to discern the difference when you're trying to make decisions that will help them ultimately with their finances. Mm-hmm. And so, just about everyone this week that came into my office, there was some part of Jesus came out of me. And they all seem to respond as though they knew God, whether they have that personal relationship, I don't know, but it's planting the seed and being available to be open about your faith. And so that's what I've tried to do.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, I have the privilege of tomorrow going with some of our 50-plus, and truly, I'm not quite there, Tommy. So you who are just barely over that 50-plus mark, I'm not there. I'll be an honorary 50-plus, and but I told the group that's going, because it is all hills, I'm bringing a golf cart with me. My dad wasn't able to keep up with his gas golf cart, so I bought that from him, and he has an electric cart now, and I needed a back seat, though, for it. So there's a guy near me that works on golf carts, and I picked up a back seat from him and worked on jerry-rigging it so it would work. So we'll have a back seat and transportation starting tomorrow. I am. I get to chauffeur everybody around on my golf cart, so that'll be fun. But in the process of that, because I took the challenge as well, and I kept wanting to look for someone to share the gospel with, and or at least, like Hubie and Tonda, at least just open up about being a Christian and that type of thing. And I had the opportunity at the golf cart place where I went and picked up the seat with the man's son. And I always find it interesting, you head in that direction of talking about, you know, spiritual things, and they say, oh, well, you know, I go to church. And I say, oh, okay. What church do you go to? Well, I go to the one just up there. And so I'm like, okay, well, I know this area quite well. And so I started naming, you know, is it Traveler's Rest? No. Is it Bethany? No. And I knew it wasn't Bethlehem. And then it was a, it's up there on Route 1, that's where we go. You know, well, he evidently really attends there a lot. He didn't even know the name of the church. I dropped it there. I didn't try to embarrass him or anything like that. But just planting a seed. I'm going to need more things eventually, because it's an old golf cart, and I'm going to need parts as time goes on. And I'm hoping to have more time to be able to share the gospel. And like Tonda said, it's an open door. It's a seed. Sometimes that's what it takes. We have to be willing to be unashamed to share that we're Christians, to share that we believe Jesus, that we believe the Bible. And some may think we're foolish, but that's okay. Because we know that as we are unashamed, so will Jesus be unashamed of us as he stands before Almighty God and the hosts of angels. Daniel Meyerson wrote about archaeologist Howard Carter. Now, some of you may know that name, but if you don't, he's the man who for more than 30 years searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people didn't even believe existed. And that was the tomb of, does anybody know? King Tut. Ring a bell at all? Most experts believed that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. Eventually, after five more years without result, Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the search. In November of 1922, during his final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramesses VI. He sent a cable to England which said, "At last I have made wonderful discovery in the valley. A magnificent tomb with seals intact." Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found. Though he could not be certain that he was correct, his search was enabled by a relationship he had built with his benefactor, Lord Carnarvon, and though his benefactor obviously trusted Carter, even the benefactor had to be transparent with him by letting him know that money was running low. But this transparency redoubled Carter's efforts, and the discovery was made. And some of you may think, well, what does this have to do with anything? We'll get to that. We've been on a journey over the past several weeks in this series that I've entitled Food for Thought. We've asked the question, are you hungry yet? Meaning, are we hungry for the Word of God? Then we determined that the milk of God's Word is not just a liquid diet, but a strengthener for the meat of God's Word. The following Sunday, we were encouraged to follow the recipe. That is, to follow God's Word and what He's set up for our life, growth, and practice. And last week, we were encouraged to become proficient at setting the table, which is to share the gospel with others. Today, we're going to discover the goal for the maturing Christian, which is to multiply themselves in the lives of those who accept Jesus as the Lord of their life and Savior of their eternity. And teaching them, of course, to follow the recipe, to set the table, challenging them with the question of, are you hungry yet? And learning, helping them learn that God's work, the Word, is not just a liquid diet. The result will be of this goal is what I'm terming today in the theme of food for thought is cook multiplication. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much for this time in your word. I pray that you'll be honored, that you'll be glorified, that your word will multiply in our hearts, that we'll be open to hear what you have to say to us through your word. Holy Spirit, speak through me and help me to just bypass things that aren't from you. May we be listeners, myself included. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that you open your Bible to chapter 2 of Proverbs. If you'll open your Bible to chapter 2 of Proverbs. Now, most of the Proverbs were written by the wisest man ever to walk this earth besides Jesus. His name was Solomon, King Solomon. He's the son of King David. We may better know him as the slayer of Goliath. And he wrote Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding, furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Howard Carter searched a lifetime for King Tut's tomb, and it brought forth great treasure. But if you know the story of the finders of King Tut's tomb, Howard Carter, among others, very soon after finding this great archaeological find, he died. King Solomon spoke of wisdom. And when he said to seek God, he said seek God like you would seek a hidden treasure. Spend a lifetime at it. Spend a lifetime at it. But this treasure isn't going to be one that will bring you death. It will bring you life and great reward. Roger Babson, an American historian, was visiting the president of Argentina about 100 years ago. When the president said to him, "You're a student of history. Will you please tell me why it is that South America, with her unlimited resources and having been settled earlier than North America, has nevertheless made such slower progress in civilization and material prosperity?" Mr. Babson threw the question back upon the president by saying, "Mr. President, you evidently have studied this question yourself, and I would be interested in to know your answer to it." The president replied that he thought the explanation lay in the fact that South America was settled by Spaniards who came seeking gold, while North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who came seeking God. Big difference. Our greatest pursuit in life is to seek God. Now, we talked about being hungry for God's Word. We talked about not just settling for the milk of God's Word, but to use the milk of God's Word to strengthen us so we could understand God's mysteries even more in His Word, and that would be the meat of God's Word. We talked about the fact that we, in God's Word, we follow how we should live and how we should pursue life and what our goals are, that is, following the recipe. We talked about the fact that we need to set the table then as we build all these things in our life through God and His Word and through fellowship with believers. We build these things. We need to set the table for others. But there's more. as we're doing this, as we're growing for the one who is truly to be mature, all of those steps should bring us to this point of, I want God. Solomon said it. He said that if we will store these things up, if we will seek these things of wisdom like hidden treasure, he said, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Tommy talked about it at the beginning of our service today when he read about the letter to Laodicea that said, where God said, I don't want lukewarm. Either just totally live away from me or be hot for me, but don't come being wishy-washy. The old Karate Kid, the original movie of Karate Kid. If you knew it at all, it's this young boy and he's wanting to learn how to do karate. And he meets Mr. Miyagi, wise Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi tells him, he says, Daniel-san, you walk on one side of the road, you're fine. You walk on the other side of the road, you're fine. You walk in the middle of the road, you get squashed like grape. Man, we're to be seeking God with our life. Not walking in the middle of the road and having a little bit of the world and all of its pleasures and what it offers, which will lead to destruction, much like Howard Carter at the end of 30 years, and then he dies. Or we can seek God. But we can't have our foot over here and say, well, I'll have a little bit of God and a little bit of this, and walk in the middle of the road. We have to seek God with our lives. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way, and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will freely give. As we seek him, he'll give to us what we've been looking for in the first place. I had the privilege of being at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes dinner last night, hearing testimony of students, hearing testimony of adults who were FCA students and it changed their lives. And one of the things I heard is they have a thing now that they're working on character coaches. So you have a football coach and a character coach would come in and teach character traits, which schools are big about, and come and teach character. Now I'm hearing about Stafford High School. Now I've been around football players. I'm a football player, I'm all, work out and I'm big and tough and all that. And you got football players at Stafford High School right now, North Stafford High School, that are actually going around to other guys and in a very sincere and right and appropriate kind of way saying, I love you, man. And showing it by giving up things to sacrifice for their brother on the field. Why? Because of some of them have found God. And they're learning that God freely gives. They sought him. And he forgives. Forgiveness and compassion from the creator of the universe, the creator of our very being. That's a treasure. To have forgiveness and compassion from Almighty God when we offend him so? Because every person here would say they've done wrong. If you ever disobeyed your mom and dad in your life, you've sinned against Almighty God. You've trespassed against him. If you ever lied, if you ever cheated, if you ever said a bad word about somebody, if you ever harbored hate, if you ever took something that didn't belong to you, you didn't do it against the people that you did that to. You did it against Almighty God. I've done these things. We're sinners. We deserve anything coming to us. But if we seek God, and those of us who know we have salvation, we We know God. We know Jesus through a relationship with Him. We know we have eternal life. Then we should seek God even more. Though Howard Carter wasn't seeking God, he saw something he believed in. The naysayers were out there, but he believed in it and he found it. And the writer of Hebrews confirms for us that God can be found. Not just Isaiah, but in the New Testament in Hebrews, it says, "Now without faith it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him." Now for the person who is not a believer, you're lost. You don't believe maybe that Jesus is God. And you're hearing my voice today and you're wondering. Well, I am here to say He's God. There are changed lives all throughout this room here that are testimony of it. Just get to know some people here and you'll be floored of where they were and where they are today. And you seek God and you can find Him with faith. You have to have faith in Him. But what I love is, and for those of us that know God through Jesus Christ, and we are rewarded. And the more we seek God, the more we are rewarded. We who have an understanding of this, we can't keep silent about it. We shouldn't. I just had the privilege on Friday of spending time with a buddy of mine from high school. When we were in high school, he did not believe in Jesus as his Lord and as his Savior. It was years later that he did. And he told me, he said, "Kurt, I do not understand anybody who claims to be a Christian who keeps hush about it to others." He said, "I don't understand it. I don't know how you can be a Christian and not tell others." You know what? I didn't sit there trying to explain to him how it could happen. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't either. I don't. If we claim to be Christians, and we're keeping our mouths shut, and we're keeping quiet, not rocking the boat, are we really Christians? If we're seeking God, we understand His holiness, we understand who He is, man, we should be shouting it from the rooftop. Now, I've said we don't have to stand on street corners and be a street corner preacher. We don't. My friend Carlton, he does. He does do that. And has done it. And still does it. Well, that's something God's called him to. But why is it, and I'm just going to go off script, why is it that the body of Zora Baptist Church is as a whole, not as there's some individuals that this is not about you, but for as a whole, is rebellious about finding a new friend? I say that, rebellious about finding a new friend. Why? Now, those of you who are visiting, I apologize, I'm not talking to you, okay? But those of you who call this your church home, and you've sat under God's Word, not just from me, but from the songs we sing and from the deacons who have spoken, why are we being so rebellious as to not get out of our comfort zones and make a new friend to enjoy things we enjoy and share Jesus with them? I don't understand it. I really don't. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all our needs, will be provided." It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. We must keep seeking God every day. Tommy admitted, now Tommy's one I know, he probably, honestly, I think sometimes he spends more time in prayer, maybe even more time in God's Word than I do at times. But even Tommy, who was up here confessing, that he looked at his life saying he was lukewarm. Because it's a daily thing. I'm a pastor. And I'm not exempt from this either. I have to daily seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness. Because I'm telling you right now, I can't tell you how many times I feel like a hypocrite in my own life as a pastor because of sin I let creep into my life and take hold of me. And I say that so freely because I know no one out there is any different. No one out here is any different. So why shouldn't all of us be daily seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? None of us have arrived. This is not a one-time thing. Jesus described it like this. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, He said, "Keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep seeking, and you'll find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches and seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." But why, I ask, why do we expect anything from God when we're not daily doing this, seeking Him and His way and His righteousness, and then we say, well, God isn't real and His promises aren't true when we ask out of our sinfulness one time. And He doesn't answer our prayer, and so we give up on God. It's foolishness. Seeking God is not the only step, though. We're to be multiplying cooks in the kitchen, so to speak. We are. That's our job. It's discipleship. Seeking God is just the start for us, because as we build that relationship with God and seeking Him, like I said, the more we know God, the more we're not going to keep our mouth shut about Him. We're going to want to tell people. We're going to want to live our life of Christ before others, unashamed. And we're going to want to multiply what God has done in our heart and our life and see it multiplied in the lives of others. So our first relationship is with God, and then our next relationship should be to build relationships with others in discipleship. Like Howard Carter and his relationship with his benefactor, we can't reach our goal of multiplying cooks in the kitchen, discipling. Howard Carter couldn't reach his goal. He needed other archaeologists to do what he was doing, but he couldn't do it without his benefactor. We can't do it without building relationships either. We have to have relationships, first with God, then with others in the body, so that we can have relationships outside the body. Marjorie Williams, she was a children's storybook writer, and she wrote the very beloved Velveteen Rabbit. It tells the story of a stuffed toy rabbit given to a young boy as a Christmas present. The Velveteen Rabbit lived in the nursery with all the other toys, waiting for the day when the boy would choose him as a playmate. In time, the shy rabbit befriends the tattered skin horse, the wisest resident of the nursery, who reveals the goal of all nursery toys, to be made real through the love of a human. One night we get to overhear their conversation. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, as they were lying side by side near the nursery fender, just before Nana came in to tidy up the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked. Or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become, and it takes a long time," That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or happen to things that break easily or have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. It's a cute story, isn't it? But the point is, we are real to God. He's loved on us, and sometimes it hurts. But He loves us, and sometimes we get tattered and torn. But He loves on us, and we're real. And He wants us to do that to others in relationship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Building relationships with the attenders of the church body and with potential church attenders through our witness and their salvation is how we become and show others that they're real. It's how we become real, and that's how we show others that they're real. In other words, that they're loved by God. The discipleship process is all about multiplying God's work in us into others, and this is accomplished through relationships. As we purposefully relate to the spiritually lost, we must share the gospel with them. How could we not share the gospel if God has truly changed our heart and lives? And then, when a person is born again, we may not be the one that led them to this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Might be someone else, and then God sends them to us to love on them, to build this relationship, to help them become real in the eyes of God and this world. And the way we do it is described by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Colossians, accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive them, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so must also you forgive. Then in Ephesians, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. So, discipleship or cook multiplication happens by seeking God and then building relationships. And when this is developed properly, this is a scary one. There's transparency between ourselves and God, and in our relationships of multiplication. Transparency breeds trust. The story is told of a prosecuting attorney in a small town courthouse who called his first witness, an elderly woman, and called her to the stand. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat, you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot, but you haven't the brains to realize you will never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher." Well, the lawyer was stunned. He didn't know what to say, so he pointed over to the defending lawyer and he said, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" She replied, "Why, of course I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, too. I used to babysit him. And he too has been a real disappointment to me. He's a lazy, bigoted. He's lazy, bigoted, and has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him. At this point, the judge wrapped the courtroom to silence and called both lawyers to the bench, and in a very quiet voice, he said with menace, "If either of you ask if she knows me, I'll hold you in contempt." These men didn't want to be transparent, even though they might have been transparent to this woman. They didn't want to be. And therefore, as confessed, they had trouble in their relationships because they didn't want transparency, because they weren't living lives worthy of transparency. They were ashamed. But as Christians, we are called to be unashamed. We are called to be transparent, to build trust with those to whom we're building a relationship. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. "Since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. "For this is our confidence. The testimony of our conscience is that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you, with God-given sincerity and purity, not by fleshly wisdom, but by God's grace." You know, Howard Carter had a lot of naysayers for 30 years. And yet, he was unashamed of seeking for this King Tut's tomb that everyone said didn't exist. He was all about his mission. When we live lives seeking God and building relationships toward multiplying others with what God has done in our lives, and then we live unashamed in transparency, building this trust with others, then we can stand firm on our mission. Listen to the words of Psalm 23, verses 5 through 6. "Saying of God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." As true believers, then, who are seeking God, who are building relationships unashamed, in trust, then we won't have a problem if our lives are displayed, like in Psalm 23, even before our enemies. That's true transparency. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "Instead, we have renounced shameful secret things, not walking in deceit or distorting God's message, but commending ourselves to every person's conscience in God's sight by an open display of the truth." For this last sermon in the series of Food for Thought, the bottom line is this. Based on our goal as Jesus followers, which is cook multiplication. In other words, multiplying what God has done in our lives in the lives of others. We must seek God. We must seek God. We must build relationships, not just inside these walls, but out there. Finding that new friend so that they can know what you know about God and the eternal life He offers through Jesus Christ. And be transparent. Don't have things that are hidden in your life that, oh man, I wouldn't want people to find out. It doesn't mean we're sinless. I'm not talking about just, oh, I'm going to confess everything in my life. I'm not saying that. But live a life that's open. Live a life that's trustworthy, full of integrity. Then we can be unashamed, even if our table is set before our enemies. challenge for this week then is to put these things to practice. Put it to practice. It isn't just a challenge for you, it's a challenge for me. I confessed up here, trying to be as transparent as I know to be, that I'm no perfect person. I haven't arrived, and neither have you. We all, on a daily basis, have to seek God. We all have to, on a daily basis, be about His business, witnessing the gospel and building relationships with others. We all have to daily seek being unashamed, building that trust transparency with others. Let's not stop that challenge from last week of praying about someone to witness Jesus to. Instead, let's multiply it. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank You so much for Your Word. You've convicted me, not just in the study for this series and this particular sermon, but You've convicted me today even more. I'm sorry, Lord, for in my life where I've spent time not about Your business, not seeking You, where I have neglected building relationship for discipleship, for that multiplication of what You've done in my life, for things that I'm ashamed of. And I pray, Lord, that You will work in my heart, change me, continue to work in me and change me, make me blameless before You and before men, so that You can even set the table before my enemies. Lord, I pray that upon this body. I pray that upon the individuals of the body of Zora Baptist Church, those that attend, those that call themselves members. May we step away from our hypocrisies. May we know You and seek You so much that those things that keep us from meeting these challenges will just continually scale away. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you all today. It's a beautiful day outside. I hope you can spend time with loved ones and friends. But don't forget that even in this time, you can make a new friend. Invite someone to join you on this beautiful day. And don't stop talking about things you would at church, hopefully good things. And don't stop talking about your Savior, even when people who may not believe are around you and with you. Be unashamed. I ask that of you, I ask that of myself. Hope you have a great day, and I do want to invite anyone and all to stay for a business meeting and see how things operate behind the scenes here. But you are dismissed.